Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 2004. And today we're looking at Leno and Woodley. And we're here with Gypsy.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Jeanette.
Hi.
We're here with Lisa.
What's my name?
And Alex.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. And we're watching Leno and Woodley. I know nothing about Leno and Woodley.
Well, that's good for you, Justin, because I sure do.
Could you tell me all about Leno and Woodley, Gypsy?
I mean, I could. Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
Give it a shot.
Okay. So Leno and Woodley consists of Colin Lane and Frank Francis Woodley. So according to the Wikipedia entry, they actually started as a debut act in 1993 at Melbourne Prince Patrick's Hotel, which at the time featured like sketch comedy and slapstick comedy. After a bit, they got taken on by the ABC network in 97 to do The Adventures of Leno and Woodley, which is what we're going to be watching today. So they're probably the best comedic duo from Australia. I'm going to say from Australia because my other favourite one is from New Zealand.
I was going to say, you're part of the Concorde.
Yes. New Zealand. But they're absolutely fantastic. They take a lot of their material from the goodies. So there's like a real nice feel, like a goodies kind of feel to it. Their TV show is absolutely incredible, but their better stuff is their stage things. So if you can get your hands on it and find it by not torrenting, you've got the Goodbye Tour. The Leno and Woodley Goodbye Tour, which is definitely amazing. It's all of their best of stuff. I tried to get it tonight to share with everyone, but I completely forgot when I saw my friend. The next one is Leno and Woodley's The Island, which is just knee-slapping amazing. And then there's also...
Do you actually slap? Does anyone actually slap their knees when they laugh? They laugh so hard that they...
No, I usually knee myself in the chest.
You have very long legs.
Angus only does that when he's Morris dancing.
The bells!
Is that a Morris dancing thing? They knee themselves in the chest?
Oh, wait.
No, they do.
He's forgotten his lessons already.
That does explain the barrel chest to Germans, don't really.
Sorry.
I thought there was a dance move that Morrissey did that... But yeah, that's basically the general gist of them.
And which episode are we watching tonight?
We are watching The Wall.
The Wall.
Yay. So a bit of context, these two gentlemen, they rent an apartment together. And at this stage, you've seen a couple of episodes and their antics, which makes The Wall just like... It's almost like the high point of how low they can really go and how terrible they are. Oh. It's fantastic. You've got the straight man and the funny man kind of combo as well, which works really well. But yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know.
Okay, and this is season one, episode three, I think.
Episode four.
There we go. Okay, yeah. I guess we'll get on and watch Leno and Woodley,
mm-hmm.
The Wall.
Yep.
And see what I think about it.
If you don't like it, I'll give you Angus's mark. If you don't like it, you can just go off and watch Ready, Steady, Cook, which is where Colin Lane went after Leno and Woodley.
So I believe they were connected by marriage or something, weren't they? They were like brothers-in-law or something. I remember hearing back in the beginning.
I don't know. I know that the Leno and Woodley thing is actually they used to live together.
So I'm
pretty sure they went to university or something like that together.
Mm.
They are literally the Australian version of like the Monty Python or the Goodies, having gone to
university. They used to live together.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Having gone to university together, met up and did comedy stuff in Melbourne and then proceeded to just make the world laugh with their ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm. They did a lovely tribute, didn't they, to Tim Brooks?
Yes, they did. They basically sung the Goodies song as a tribute to Tim Brooke Taylor, which was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
In different houses.
Yeah.
I remember when they split up, like, because they'd had such a successful career and then they just kind of went, you know what, we're done, we want to do different things, we've got different paths in mind and we're going to separate. And it was like a travesty, wasn't it?
It was.
They're never going to recover from this. And they've both gone off and they've done their own thing and they've come back together and they've, you know.
2017 to now, they are officially back together and have been.
Mm. Wow. Oh,
doing something. They did a quarantine show a couple of months ago where they basically sold tickets online and then gave out keys for a Zoom call. And they just invited people in and did this.
A lot of people are doing that at the moment.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And they were really just smart about the entire thing. And they also did a show called Fly recently, which was kind of like their big debut of coming back, which is a play about the Wright brothers. And it's messed up with all of their comedy in between. And the start of it is Colin going, I can't be on the same stage as this peanut over there, and would walk off the stage whenever Frank walked on, until eventually he put like a shock collar quotation marks on Frank, which then just went crazy from there. It was good. It was fantastic.
I guess we'll get on and watch it and see what we think. Okay.
I get the feeling, got a bit of an inkling, as long as we're together, it'll be okay.
So welcome back. We've just been watching Leno and Woodley. I was wondering who's actually seen this before and who hasn't. So we know Gypsies obviously has. Angus, had you seen it before?
I have seen this. I saw this about a year ago.
Six months.
Six months. Longer than that.
Okay, so only 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so.
Relatively recently.
I'm sorry.
Jeanette, have you seen this before?
No, I haven't seen any before. I'm aware of it. I'm aware of who they are. Like, I recognise their faces, but I haven't actually.
Yeah, I think I recognise their faces and that's about it.
I know Leno and Woodley and I knew the theme song, but I didn't remember any of the episodes. But yeah, it's totally their type of comedy. So yeah, I can totally, just fit straight into the, you know, the genre or the, you know, the feeling. Yeah. A bit more, it's the vibe. It's the,
it's the vibe. It's Marbo.
It's probably more, Goody's had their cringy moments too, but it was just like, is it always like that episode where the things will just escalate and escalate and escalate?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think Jeanette mentioned Fawlty Towers earlier. Yes. And I had that sort of increasing cringe where the situation gets worse and worse and you're knotting up inside watching it.
It is very Fawlty Towers, actually. Yeah.
Alex, have you seen this before? Or?
Well, basically, before I got here this morning, I was thinking of the exact scene in the show, basically making the hole as loud as possible. You can fit a basketball in there. No, you can't. Puts it in there. It gets stuck. Okay, try to push it through. Pushes it through and they do it from the end. I remember that distinctly.
You do remember that,
Like point by point
by
point.
Did you watch it at the time or?
Yeah, I watched it at the time. I watched it not recently, but like a few years ago as well.
Okay.
Because... Okay. Yeah, it's a series I quite enjoyed from the late 90s.
I haven't seen any of it before. I recognise the characters and that's about it. I don't think I've seen them before. But, you know, I was going to ask at the beginning of the episode if these are sci-fi or fantasy.
And you missed your opportunity. Disappointing.
Yeah, so how do you think it holds up, Gypsy?
I think it's amazing. I have a very soft spot for Leno and Woodley because when I was a part of the CFS, went to fatalities and things like that, and my best friend and I'd go over to their house and they would just play Leno and Woodley because they were a good laugh, and I'd be in tears laughing, but I'd forget about all the horrible things that I saw, basically. So I think even now, no matter what, it will definitely be my favourite comedy and escapism kind of TV show.
They're like your happy place.
They're my cheese toasty of TV.
Cheese toasty of TV.
My mac and cheese.
This is a TV comfort food.
This is TV comfort food for me.
And so there's that part of me, like, I knew where it was heading and I know the comedy and I know them, and I remember first watching Leno and Woodley on the comedy galas that they used to show on TV. And they used to do, you know, they'd do a couple of songs and I'd be in stitches and we'd be singing them for days afterwards, but I find it really difficult to watch the cringe comedy. So like the Fawlty Towers thing, or you know, the UK Office, where you just be sitting there and you're going, or my example used to always be Meet the Parents, that Ben Stiller movie. I can't watch it because I can't be embarrassed.
I'd be embarrassed for them on behalf of them. The empathy is too high. So
I get really empathetic and then I kind of go, no, I need to escape. I can't be in this situation anymore.
What's that English comedy? It's like the one with Noel Fielding in it.
Mighty Boosh.
It was like Mighty Boosh, and there was another one around that time as well. I can't watch those for the exact same reason.
I've been watching Mighty Boosh at the moment.
Skins. Is that a comedy? Yes.
It's a dark comedy.
I guess the light stylized way, if you watch Fawlty Towers, for example, it's very much designed to, you could believe that they were real people and they were actually acting like that. Yeah. But you can't believe that with this.
It's
stylized in a particular way, isn't it? Yeah, so it enables you to get away with it a bit better with the empathy thing. So you know, not quite so much in knots as you might be with an episode of Fawlty Towers.
I don't know. UK Office I find really hard to watch.
I watched the first episode of Fawlty Towers after about 2 years, 3 years of working in hotels, and that is so believable.
Believable. That's what I was saying. It's believable.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. At one point, I actually remember running around going, I'm juggling four functions, two weddings and something else, going, it's fine. No one mentioned the fact that the cake's broken now, but it's all good, right?
Yeah. So, well, Jeanette used to work in hotels like that. So she knows. She knows.
Place of Fawlty Towers. Spanish writers that didn't understand English properly and would say cake.
But I could 100% see things like in Leno and Woodley happening in real life, just not like a bad day generally feels like an episode of Leno and Woodley.
So Angus, what meal is this for you?
What meal? We're rating the show by meals. That's too abstract even for me.
I was the one who was rating by feelings. Toasty.
It was cheese toasty last time. What
seven
meal
and
is
three
this?
Quarter stars.
Oh, here we go.
See, I do really enjoy this show.
Was it a popcorn or was it
alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
Something you can enjoy with friends.
An apple cider?
No, no. Something I'd feel a bit, guilty about eating too often. No, I'd actually go with, food-wise, I'd go with probably like pizza or something.
Pizza? So this is a pizza.
It's great food, but I feel guilty if I watch it too many times.
Guilty?
No. That's where my mind's going.
Okay,
but
is it an anxious pizza or is it?
Too much chili. I'm terrible at cringe comedy because I just retreat into myself fully. I'm just huddled into a ball and rock myself to sleep.
So a cringe
but this
pizza
isn't as bad. I have a lot of problems with social cringe, scenarios. If there's cringes in social scenarios, I'm out. I'm just going, oh no, I don't want to watch this. And so The Office UK was really, really hard.
I can't watch it.
The Office UK.
It's that type of thing where you watch it and you just go, if that happened to me, I would just get up and just move to another country because I just cannot be around any of those people.
Because less so the guilty thing, but more just the being able to have too much, actually. Yes. I think just
at
the point you've got to say, nah, I've got to take a couple of steps back and eat some broccoli.
Well, you eat it, you enjoy it while you're eating and then 5 hours later you've got like stomach upset because it's too much cheese, too much dough. Yeah.
You're lying in bed and you just have the basketball flying through the wall and repeating in your head going, oh no.
So Jeanette, does this represent every flatmate you've ever known or Helena and Woodley?
No,
just Justin.
Haven't actually got to the point of destroying the neighbour's flat. But
I think I recognise that hat they wear, though. Is that the one you wear?
I've never destroyed a neighbour's flat.
I never destroyed a neighbour's flat. Not so far.
Not so far.
Interestingly, the neighbour's flat. Destroyed a neighbour's flat.
In fact, you did destroy it. It wasn't your neighbour's. It was from down like a different suburb.
I think the worst thing that ever happened when we were renting was Patrick and the stair rail in the house Stockholm. Nothing gets broken in this house. We're renting a house. And he tried to climb up the stair rail or something and broke the stair rail off the wall.
The whole rail.
So the whole rail came off. So every time the landlord would come, I just shut the door so he couldn't see. There's no stair rail. We managed to replace it before we left. But the worst thing was we left and we had packers come in and pack everything. So we get back to Australia. The stuff arrives. I pack it. And there's this mahjong set that belonged to the landlord amongst our stuff. It weighs a ton. It cost a fortune to ship back. So we've still got this mahjong, so I'm also guilty about it. One day I'm going to go go back to Sweden and take it back.
Piece by piece, yeah.
Can you imagine the landlord, like, Christmas time going, why am I getting it piece by piece?
It's like a kidnapper sending it to a bloody toe through the mail. We have the rest of your mahjong set.
It's been gone for 10 years. What are these people doing?
But we're told the packers do not pack this. It does not belong to us. And just,
I don't know. I can see this as an episode of this show, actually. So, Alex, what meal was this for you?
I think it's more nostalgic because I was about, I don't know, I'd say 10 maybe when I first saw this. So it's a bit more nostalgic. Not quite old enough to help be cringy. It's more just like a bunch of men being complete doofuses on camera for half an hour. And the slapsticky nature of it more than anything else. So it's probably, I don't know, it's not like I'm nostalgic for food-wise.
My brain's going paddle pops, just from what you've described already.
And then we used to have paddle pops, actually, I don't think. It was more, I think it's my, like...
You can get paddle pops as a child.
No. No, we got... I think it was, like, frozen yogurt home brand style ones, which are nicer.
A bit healthier.
Yeah, a bit healthier.
So for me, it was a macaroni cheese. Hopefully a macaroni cheese. Food. Is it in danger of burning you?
I feel like... Situationally, so at the moment, because I've been working from home for like 5 months now, and it just goes on and on. But so now I've been having my lunch break in my own home, in the kitchen. I'll sit down, and at the moment I've been putting on Broad City. And Broad City has that same kind of, it's very different to Lanham and Woodley, but it's got that same kind of
duo,
the cringe comedy, the things going wrong and trying to make them right.
And the slightly less realistic stuff as well.
That's it. Mm. But just a more of a kind of an R-rated version than Lanham and Woodley. But I've got that same feel watching this as I would be sitting down eating my sandwiches at the dining room table in my lunch break at work every day when I'm watching Broad City. So it's, you know, I could totally see myself doing that with this show as well.
So what food? Is that sandwich then?
Well, if it was what I had today, I had banana sandwiches today.
there you go.
There's nothing.
There's a banana sandwich
with lots
for Lisa.
Of butter on white bread, banana, mush.
Nothing else. You're mortified. You're disgusting. You know what? I'm doing this for Mackenzie right now. She can live with me.
Don't tell her that. She will take you up on that.
You just have to hand her the link next time
she
comes over.
So, I once said she wanted to be a teacher or a police officer when she grew up. Now she wants to be gypsy.
Over depressed. Anxious 28-year-old.
Yeah. Well, she's in life.
She's got mine and my husband's genes. It's going to happen anyway. So. Poor thing.
So I think we were going to release a cookbook.
Everyone's got all these Woodley really cookbook. Nice meals and I've got banana sarnies.
Things to watch while watching Lena Woodley.
Bananas.
And Angus can rate that instead.
Yeah, the cookbook.
So what was your rating for this, Angus?
I thoroughly enjoyed
pizza.
Yeah.
It was out of stars.
How many slices of pizza out of?
I'd say at least a 12-inch pizza out of 10.
Nice.
Wow. 10 pizzas or 10 lunches?
No, just 10.
I'm confused.
Okay, what's the absolute value of pizza?
But just wait, that was a very guilty pizza. So in fact, more is slightly less, isn't it? So
hey, it's out of 10. That's the first time I'm using a standard denominator at any rate. So just take it or leave it.
So that's too many pieces of pizza, is it?
Is there too many?
Oh, well, that's
no,
a question.
That's not a 12-sliced pizza.
That is the guilty question.
A 12-inch pizza made of 8 slices.
12-inch out of 10.
Yeah.
So before we go, on the weekend I went and saw the ultimate cult movie. I went and saw The Room in the city and it was so good.
I did hear it was a pretty spoonless night though.
It was a spoonless night, I know. So
don't you just hate it when you go to the movies, you're like, hell yeah, I'm gonna spoon my partner later, and you get home and it's just gone all because of The Room.
So with this movie, you're supposed to watch it and you're supposed to heckle it, and they've got, for some random reason, they've got these little frames in around the room, around the apartment, of just spoons. So whenever you see a spoon in this movie, you're supposed to throw spoons. And so the last time I went and saw it at Palace Nova, they actually had like a big bucket of spoons where you could just help yourself and then you just throw them in plastic spoons. Oh, right.
So you don't damage the...
No. And so, you know, we were in the back row that time, but if you're like in the middle, you'll throw spoons and spoons will land in your lap and you'll just keep throwing them and it's on and on and on.
I guess because of the corona risk.
That's it. So I went, well, they're not going to have a big bucket of spoons this time, so I'll go and buy my own. So I went and bought 6 packs of 24 spoons. Does anyone want to do the math on that one? So I went and bought 144 plastic spoons and brought them with me in my bag, and because of coronavirus, no spoons allowed to be thrown in the cinemas. But you
had restriction in any
a free spoon with your cookbook.
I had like a poster, and so every time you saw the spoons, they wanted you to like lift up the poster and yell out spoon, so everyone did that instead. It was all these signs went up, we want spoon.
Now, I'm just thinking, you know when Psycho was originally edited cinemas, they wouldn't let people in after it started, and it was a big deal at the time. I'm just thinking, spoons now is almost the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, spoons will be allowed in the theatre.
It's not something you can sit and watch with a group of people or by yourself because it is just the worst movie ever. But the whole point is you go and see it in a cinema full of people and you all heckle and you yell and you throw spoons. If you want to get a bit of a refresher without having to watch the movie and you want to understand what it's all about, I don't know if any of you guys have seen The Disaster Artist, the James Franco movie. Yeah, so the James Franco movie, The Disaster Artist, is talking about the making of The Room and just how ridiculous it is. So
read about it.
But you've got to kind of, I don't know what one you'd be better off watching first, The Room or... Anyway.
Okay, so that was Leon Woodley.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think 12 pizzas.
No, 12 inches.
12-inch pizza out of 10.
Yeah.
Seems pretty good.
Next.
And what are we doing next?
We're watching Freaks and Geeks. Which is a slightly obscure American sitcom from 1990 to 2000. I think you might enjoy it.
That familiar faces.
Yeah. Basically, the idea is that it was made in 2000. It was set in 1980. And watching it in 2020, but the freaking producers had to make it in 1999 to screw it up. But yeah, it's nostalgic in a lot of ways.
I thought it was set in the 70s.
No, it's set in 1980, so it's 70s, but it's 1980. So it's 1970s feel, but it's actually in 1980, which is semantically distinct. It's just long enough for it to be no longer disco.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
disco's dead.
Disco's dead. A few episodes.
That was a PSA for anyone who needs to hear that.
You'll get the feel of it when I show the episode next time.
Okay.
Excellent.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay, till then.
Okay, so everybody say goodbye. Yeah, so goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.